If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Job Ready podcast. My name is Dane Sharp, I'm your host, and this is episode number 43 of the show, and it's a super important one. My guest is Jason Olive, who's the marketing director for Movember. Movember is a non-profit organization and a charity that I and thousands of others have supported since its inception. The organization plays a key role in raising awareness for and helping to change the face of men's health on a global scale, focusing on mental health, suicide prevention, prostate cancer, and testicular cancer. And given the year that we've all just had, Movember has also played a critical role in helping men and their friends and family deal with the mental health impacts that work, jobs, and their careers can have. I put a call out to my LinkedIn network at the end of November after seeing thousands of amazing mustaches and mows across the web. I put a call out to try and speak with someone at Movember about job and work-related mental health issues. And I appreciate the time that the Movember leadership team gave me, and specifically Jason gave me for this episode.
Please note that the opinions of guests are their own and not those of the companies they have worked for.
G'day, Jason. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast, mate. Look, start us off. Tell us about your key responsibilities in your role and why your job's a dream job.
So as the marketing director in Australia, I'm responsible for a really incredible team of people that work across marketing, content, communications, and leading the strategy across these functions. What it actually looks like in terms of the day-to-day is really connecting the income and impact efforts that we deliver across the organization and laddering back up to our organizational strategy. The reason why it's a dream job is that I've actually spent the majority of my career working in ad agencies, creative agencies, media agencies, and a bit of consultancy stuff too. And in those roles, I've held quite a few strategy leadership roles, and I definitely got to the point where I felt like I wanted to be helping solve problems for organizations that were actually striving to do good. I think there's a lot of people that are in that headspace at the moment, and I'm hearing more and more from people that I mentor that they want more purpose in the work that they're doing. They're seeking to try and make a bit of a difference in the world. So I think there's definitely, and I'm probably digressing a bit here, but there's definitely a case for companies' CSR programs to connect up with HR and talent development a bit more.
Yeah, perfect. And you know, you mentioned a couple of things there I'd love to drill in a little bit during this chat. And one of the key questions personally that I want to ask you is about working for a charity after working for, you know, non-charities for so long, because it's something I've never worked for a charity. I've worked with them in a partnership kind of roles with different jobs that I've had, but it's something that's always interested me. So I want to get to that in a little bit, but let's just start with November 2020 or Movember 2020, as it's been affectionately known. Obviously the business and the organization is 24/7 all year round, but the month of November is so critical to, I guess, getting the message out, helping people, raising funds. How was, in a bizarre year that we've had, how was 2020 for you in your role and as importantly for the Movember organization?
Yeah, it's definitely been a whirlwind, to be honest. And I think we're really lucky, and I'm really thrilled that Australia really got behind Movember this year. We've got such a passionate group of supporters that really go above and beyond for our three cause areas. So we look after prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and mental health. This year, we had done a really big job in positioning that this year was the most important year than it's ever been before, and that's because mental health has really been at the fore. Our community really came together this year and had a lot of fun doing so, and really helped us change the face of men's health. We also, through this year, launched a new fundraising product called Mow Your Own Way, which I think worked really well for us this year, knowing that people are going to be or were locked at home and wanted to find different ways to fundraise. One of the other things that I think has been quite different for us as a charity in the not-for-profit sector, obviously, is that we've actually always been a technology-led organisation, and we really rely on our incredible supporters. So really the work of the fundraising happens from the incredible people on the front line asking for donations, and a lot of that happens in the digital world. So asking for donations on social media, picking up the phone and calling your friends. So I think that's why it has worked so well for us this year. And also, people have just really been craving fun in a year that's been so difficult. They've wanted to come together. They've wanted to rally their mates together. I think it's given people an excuse to really give back in a year that's been so hard for them.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And I know that obviously Movember, you know, it's a cause that, as I mentioned, runs all year. You can take donations all year, but there is that heightened, awareness and place in the market during that month. For your role specifically in the job that you have, how does the month of November differ from the other 11 that you're working around the clock?
Yeah, so the month of November is very different. It's obviously centered around fundraising. We do a lot of work throughout the rest of the year in raising awareness and actually participation in the programs that we run. This year alone, for example, we worked on a podcast that spoke to new dads called Dad in Progress, and that was really seeked at helping men through the most difficult time in their lives, which is actually fatherhood. We ran a really significant campaign called May 8, which we pivoted this year into an online festival, which was all aimed at getting better conversations to take place between you and your friends. We launched a platform called Movember Conversations, which was It's basically a really immersive platform which allows you to understand how to have better conversations with a friend. So beyond the just how are you, getting down to the nitty gritty around somebody's mental health and giving you advice along the way. We delivered a really interesting piece of work actually through a program that we've supported for a long period of time actually called Waves of Wellness. And Waves of Wellness is a surfing program which seeks to bring people together on the water and have conversations about their mental health. And we delivered one of these programs in Mallacoota this year after the devastating bushfires. And that was a really rewarding piece of work to deliver back to the community. And then beyond all of these programs, we've got a tremendous team that work specifically in the research and quality of life space across testicular and prostate cancer. And I'd say probably that the work that happens in this particular space deserves its own podcast, because there's so much that they do in the quality of life space for those men that are living with prostate and testicular cancer.
Yeah, a lot of initiatives, and I could only imagine. Yeah, you mentioned how proud you are. I think every job, you know, has that sense of pride when you know, bring something new into market or launch a new initiative, and let alone when it's actually impacting people in such a positive way. So that's really awesome. As I said before, I wanted to ask you, coming from jobs and roles and businesses that weren't charity. Coming from agencies, etc. What's it like now, if you can sum it up for us in any kind of way, what's it like working for a charity, a non-profit organisation?
Working at a non-profit organisation is very different to anything that I've experienced before. There are, I think coming from an agency, there's definitely quite a different pace. The pace of agency is very fast, it's very cutthroat. It's very focused on service and delivering things as quickly as possible. I think what I've probably experienced in terms of the biggest change in the way that I work is learning to take people on a journey and not working so much as an island or a team on its own, and actually really trying to understand the implications that has on the rest of the business, how it impacts the organizational strategy, and actually the responsibility that you have working at a not-for-profit as well is significant. You know, we talk about the incredible funds that our Mo Brothers, Mo Sisters, Non-Binary Mos raise, and they raise incredible funds for us. And so as a person that sits in the marketing leadership team, we have a really big responsibility to make sure those funds are being spent properly and effectively and deliver a really strong and compelling ROI. So in my mind, that's probably one of the biggest shifts for me as well, coming from working for big multinational brands that have massive budgets and probably didn't have quite as much focus on ROI at times. That there's definitely more of a push towards that working in this space.
Yeah, it's a key responsibility, on yours and your team's shoulders. Look, there's probably, I'm assuming that there's multiple ways to hopefully get a job for your business, but just for the listener out there that it does want to work, for a charity or specifically for Movember, how does someone get a start at the business?
Yeah, so the world of not-for-profit is massive. You know, there's hundreds of not-for-profits starting every week, and that's obviously a challenge in itself for those not-for-profits. But for me, I think the best way that somebody can get into the sector is really sit down and research the organisations that you want to be a part of. It sounds really obvious, but a lot of people don't necessarily understand what sits underneath those organisations, how they're funded. One of the best pieces of advice that I got given going into interview for this role as marketing director was to get a hold of the annual report, understand where the funds are being spent, understand the cost ratios, understand the organisational strategy that sits underneath that, and that will give you a really good indication and steer of how that organisation is set up behind the scenes, as well as the work that they're delivering themselves. So it's definitely in the research. And then I'd say my biggest piece of advice for people generally outside of the not-for-profit sector as well is to just try and catch up with people for coffee, because that is such a great way of just being able to learn about the sector and get a feel for the types of sub sectors that exist in the sector as well, because there are a lot of different not-for-profits that span across lots of different cause areas, lots of different subjects as well. So it does take some time to really narrow in on the area that you want to be passionate about as well. And for me, one of the things that my mentor always says to me is that you want something to feel like a hell yes, and if it doesn't feel like a hell yes, then there's no point really looking at it, exploring it further.
That's a cool call out. I'm glad you mentioned, you threw back to mentorship there, because I was going to ask you that, because I heard you mention it in one of the first questions we asked around people that you mentor. Can you talk to me very briefly about that? Can you acknowledge, I guess, who, you don't have to specifically talk about the people, but who have you sought mentorship from, or how that's come about? And then also, how has your mentoring come about? Is it people inside your organization or externally?
Yeah, so for me, I usually seek mentors or mentorship from people that I've worked with in the past. So people who know how I work, but I don't necessarily have an ongoing working relationship with them, just from a obviously from a day-to-day perspective, because there would be a conflict of interest. But you really have to get somebody that understands the way that you work, and can can really play quite an objective role and try not to get too much into the weeds of the feedback that they're giving. Somebody that can also do a good job of pumping you up a bit. Sometimes you need that, and sometimes that's something that in leadership roles you don't always get, and sometimes it's important to get that from a mentor. When it comes to the people that I mentor, a lot of them actually sit in the agency space, and it's people wanting to get out of agencies into client side or into not-for-profit. So it's usually done on quite a casual basis over coffee. Sometimes it's done over the phone now because of COVID, and people not necessarily being in the city as much. But yeah, a lot of people that are still in the agency world trying to get out.
Yeah, and I imagine they've reached out to you with a similar kind of, how do I get to that next step, or what's the right move, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mate, very cool. And let's stay on the work thing for a situation here, because I know obviously Movember, as you mentioned, and as people can look through on Movember.com, you're an organisation that tackles a variety of different issues, and you mentioned prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and general mental health, and I know. Mental health in the workplace is not the specific remit that the organisation goes after, but it's obviously a big part of it. And it's been such a tricky year, I guess, for careers and jobs and work. Amazing for some people and absolutely, black for others. Can you talk to us a little bit about, how you see that kind of work to mental health matters relating into the Movember organisation?
Yeah, definitely. And it's absolutely on our radar. The one thing that I will caveat is that I'm not a mental health clinician, but I can certainly speak to the experiences that I know. Mental health and suicide is already a significant issue in Australia. There's no denying it. There's statistics that tell us that every men account for every three suicides, every three out of four suicides, and seven men take their own lives every day. So it actually is the leading cause of death among men aged 15 to 44. So naturally, there's going to be a lot of speculation around what impact the pandemic is going to have on mental health and has had to date. In Australia, there hasn't been any recent nationwide data, but on the whole, we know that things aren't obviously going to be looking great into 2021 because of the situational factors of unemployment, financial stress, relationship changes that obviously happen as a result of some of the situations that we've been placed in with COVID. A lot of men are going to feel a lot of pressure to be that traditional breadwinner and live up to the provider role, and certainly focusing in on men here, there's a lot of guilt and shame if they don't live up to that. We did some research earlier this year that found that specifically, and obviously this is broader than the workspace, but a lot of men haven't been able to ask for help, or a lot of men haven't been able to seek help when they've needed it the most. So we found that nearly a quarter of men, so 23%, reported that their mental health had worsened since COVID-19 during a six-week period, which was actually the period that we in Melbourne were in lockdown. And a third of those men had noticed some feelings of loneliness, which is significant. So we as an organisation obviously have a lot to do in that space. And one of the pieces of work that I talked about before was a programme that we launched called Movember Conversations, which was that platform that was around getting men to connect and normalise that having conversations is what is needed the most right now.
And if a listener is going through some stuff right now, and this isn't a question for you personally, but more from the basis of the organisation, what's the Movember's guidance or approach, or kind of first step suggestion that a listener can do or go to?
Yeah, if it's job related, I'll focus in on that first. If it's job related, one of the first things that I would certainly suggest is speak to your workplace and try and understand if there are, we've got a system at work called EAP, which is basically a mental health solution where people at the office or obviously from home now can ring somebody, have an informal conversation. It's completely confidential and they can call back a number of times to speak to the same person. A lot of people, I would say, don't know that those services are available at their workplace. So my biggest piece of advice would be to speak to your HR team and see what is offered. And if it's not offered, it certainly doesn't hurt to ask. We're going into the, for a lot of organisations, thinking about the next financial year. So we should be having those conversations to try and get that bedded into budgeting. I think the other thing that is really important is normalizing this idea of having a mental health day. So a lot of organizations are talking about it now, but in my mind, not enough. So that should be an option. It should be like taking a day off sick, because in my mind, having a mental health day is very much the same. And if that, again, is not a solution for your organisation, try and have a conversation with the HR team about it. The other thing that I would say is, as much as it might sound quite obvious, it's always a good idea to have a conversation with your boss or line manager, or if it's not your boss or line manager, somebody that you can speak to in a leadership role within the organisation to let them know what you're going through. Because more often than not, the boss or line manager or senior person that you speak to will have dealt with this before. It's not a new thing. People shouldn't feel like they're on their own. The other thing that I think is really important beyond that is when people are taking mental health days and returning back to the office, making sure that they're having conversations with friends at work to let them know that they're struggling, to make sure that they can spot any signs of when they might need some support, take them for coffee, go for lunch, or, you know, go for a walk.
Yeah, it's great advice. And I can imagine, you know, I can only imagine how hard that is for some people to initiate that and do that and think, okay, this is okay, this is all going to work out. But yeah, critical advice and guidance, I think. You know, I'd love to ask you, just again, staying on the work situation, there's been big changes in the ways that people work this year, and I guess the physical location attribute is a huge one. Working from home, either by, you know, some choice hopefully coming into it now as companies go back into the office, but also by demand of the situation we've had. Have you guys seen any trends or any positive or negative kind of outcomes coming from that? I know personally, very quickly, it's very yin and yang. I chat with some people who are absolutely loving it. Like, oh my God, couldn't have happened any quicker. Whereas others are stinging to get back into that kind of environment that they're used to. What are you guys seeing in that situation?
So there's I would say, some big positives and negatives that come from it. And I think one of them that I really wanted to call out is that a lot of people find it difficult to switch in and out of work mode and find that real work-life balance. There's a lot of tips that I think probably exist out there to do that properly, which I can obviously talk through in a second. I think one of the other big pieces for me is the lack of social interactions that people could be having from working at home and only having meetings and not being able to have a conversation in the kitchen and not being able to just have a conversation with somebody in the hallway. I think one of the things that I would encourage people to do if organizations are working towards having more of a working from home blend is try where possible within meetings to have a bit of a kickoff at the beginning of the meeting where you spend 5 or 10 minutes just having chit chat to properly catch up on the weekend or check in with people. I think that can really go a long way. We know that meetings are usually way more productive on Zoom now, so you can probably spend that extra time properly connecting with the team. I think in my mind, one of the other things that I think is really important around this working from home versus working in the office piece is I've spoken to a lot of people that have struggled with how working from home creates this feeling that your job then defines who you are, because you spend your whole time working, especially during lockdown. A lot of people that I've spoken to from Melbourne have said that they found it really difficult being at home with not other things to do. I think what we need to do a really good job of next year, if organisations are opting to do more working from home, is helping their staff, helping their teams think about some of the other things that bring purpose in their day that aren't just intrinsically linked to their job.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And just to riff off that a little bit, one thing that I think can kind of really aid that a little bit more and assist that direction is, it's kind of admin a little bit, but I don't think it happens near enough, is around agendas and I guess, you know, clear point direction coming right from the top, you know, to the bottom, and even setting your own agendas throughout the day. Because you're right, you know, you just start working when you wake up in the morning, and then all of a sudden you've been working all day and you think, I've still got more work to do, just to keep working. And I think, you know, meetings without an agenda are terrible. And to your point earlier, saying that, you know, how do you start meetings a little bit with a little bit of a refreshment, you know, ask people what they've been up to. Even just planning that a little bit more as a manager or as a leader can pay dividends. And you know, the last thing you want to do is sit on 5 Zoom calls and have, you know, have to explain what you've been doing all day, or you know, casual chit chat. Whereas if a manager's put a little bit of time into kind of, you know, even spicing that little bit of chit chat up at the start, it can kind of keep it fresh, right? So yeah, I think anyone that's going to continue working from home, or as we transition back into the office and readjust to that, I suppose, you know, I think it's that organizational direction from above will be key to that. Well, is there anything else, either a personal level or stuff that you've spoke about at Movember around, as hopefully the world goes back to norm, and kind of you know, any things we can further take with us to make sure that, you know, as we go back to the office, I suppose, as you'll say, it's as positive as it can be?
Yeah, definitely. It's something we're talking a lot about at Movember at the moment, actually, is this feeling that a lot of people are going to be overwhelmed going back into the office. We've got our Christmas party tonight, and we've even been talking about how strange it's going to be because we haven't seen each other for so long. And even the most extroverted of people are going to struggle because you've got so used to working from home. My biggest advice would be to really acknowledge the ambiguity and know and embrace that that's going to be there. You are going to feel so different going back into the office than, you know, when you were doing it every single day. I think the reality is that working life it's never going to be the same again. And I think that acknowledgement is really important. I'd suggest also, and this is something that we're talking about a lot at Movember, is considering what that split of your week looks like and how you ease your way back into the office. So starting with a few half days in the office and then the rest of the day at home to properly start tackling this idea of being around a large group of people again. One of the other pieces for me is really thinking about self-care, because you can just slip into old habits and just work through lunch and not really consider time for yourself. So really try and book in those times with work friends or team members. The other thing that I think is the real positive from going back to working in the office, and certainly something that I've experienced and am looking to reset, is there is going to be a moment to reset this idea that when you've been working from home, you've worked through lunch, or you've worked more hours than you should be. So I think it's a really positive time in the new year for organisations to help people actually work normal amounts of hours and really think about self-care.
Yeah, manage the clock a little bit more. No, I like that. Look, and I really hope your Christmas party is a lot of fun. As you said, it's going to be I'm sure it feels a little bit strange having one without having seen a lot of those people in the flesh for a while, but hopefully that makes it all a lot better. Christmas parties also mean that the end of the year is here slash near. Look, I want to throw to our listener question of the week, if I can, because this is going to be a great transition into the year 2021 or anytime someone's, I guess, voyaging on that next step. This question is from Alyssa, and Alyssa asks, where do you get your motivation and or inspiration from?
Great question. I get my motivation and inspiration from a lot of different places. So for me, it's usually people in the team. So the people that I work with every day always bring such incredible challenges, ideas to the table. When it's not people at work, I do a lot of reading, listening to podcasts. I spend a lot of time outside as well. I think for me, getting out in, this sounds really cheesy, but getting out in nature, properly enjoying the outdoors is really important. And actually feeling inspired by things that are very day-to-day and really getting into that space of mindfulness so that, you know, you can properly appreciate the small things. For me, that idea of being able to properly switch off means that you can get more inspired by the bigger things in your day-to-day. So I think having proper breaks and finding time to yourself over the weekend is probably the biggest one for me. Because then when it comes to reading, when it comes to connecting with people, you can be really present, and that's when you'll feel most inspired.
That's great, Jason. Thank you for that. Great question by Alyssa, and I hope that she is finding some inspiration and motivation. If not, please reach out and we'll try and help guide you. But awesome answer, Jason. Hey, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being a guest on Dream Job Ready. This has been awesome. You know, the Movember organization, it's been such an amazing and important part of the Australian culture for so long, and it's great to see the organisation, you know, powering even in such a tricky year. Wish you nothing but best for the holidays, mate, and all the best for you and the organisation for 2021 and beyond.
Thank you for having me.
Hey there, thank you so much for listening to this episode. It means a lot. Please make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening and earn yourself an IOU by sharing this episode and the show with your network. You can connect with us on the socials at Dream Job Ready, and feel free to email me any feedback you have or questions for guests to dreamjobreadypodcast@gmail.com. Lastly, but most importantly, if you need help or need someone to talk to right now, please call Lifeline Australia on 131114. I'll put that number in the description, or contact a similar organization in the country you live in. Mental health is not something we should ignore, and the opportunity to get help today is better than ever before.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.